your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to 95 BFM Drive with Big J and Smashton. It's now time to talk space with our good friend Josh Araki from Te Whatu Stardome. Josh, do you read us loud and clear?
I read you loud and clear. How's it going?
Really, really good. How are you?
Oh, pretty fab. Once again, I'm looking out the window and it's cloudy. I feel like every single time we're talking, it's never, never a clear night.
Yeah, so tonight, absolutely terrible night for stargazing.
Yeah, no, don't come to Stardome tonight for telescopes.
Maybe channel the imagination and see what's out there instead of the actual stars.
We've got the planetarium, that's the second best thing.
You can look at the virtual stars.
Exactly.
This is our weekly segment where we chat all the latest in space news, and we've got a big week in space, don't we?
Yeah, there's quite a few things happening or have just happened in the last few weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so starting off, NASA's Psyche spacecraft is about to do some deep space moves. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so this is a spacecraft called Psyche, which is it's actually named after its destination. So this is a spacecraft heading to an asteroid in the asteroid belt. It's also called Psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to do a gravity assist on Friday, Saturday, which basically means it's going to fly past Mars. It's going to harness the gravity of Mars, kind of slingshot itself around it, and then kind of change its path through space, and that's going to send it on its way to its destination. It's a really cool thing when we have gravity assists and flybys, because you know, a lot of these spacecraft, they're actually using the planets to kind of navigate around the solar system.
Mm.
And every time they have these encounters, it means that we're going to get new photos. We're going to get these, you know, awesome photos and, you know, observations of Mars, which, you know, we haven't seen. So it's going to be a pretty cool little swing by as we hopefully get some cool new photos.
With big movements like this in deep space, there's communication delays and all kinds of things, and I assume they're basically just remote controlling this craft, but on a delay. How difficult is this kind of maneuver for the engineers?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the limitations in space, is that, you know, everything travels, or at least radio signals, they travel at light speed. So, you know, if you send a signal to a spacecraft and say, hey, can you do this? You know, if it's going to Mars, for example, it's going to take, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes to get there. So what programmers do on Earth is they can't control the spacecraft in real time. So they'll send all of the commands prior to its arrival. It'll basically tell it exactly what to do, where to look, what to take photos of. It'll then execute those commands, you know, once it's there. But that basically means that during the observational flyby, that spacecraft will not have contact with Earth. Mm. It's basically just too busy.
Yeah.
It'll be taking photos, it'll be observing, and its antenna won't be pointed at Earth. So we usually actually don't know if it's, you know, been successful until after the flyby's happened, and then, you know, a couple hours afterwards, it'll then point back to Earth. It'll basically send us a, like, hey, I'm okay signal.
Yeah.
And then once we reach that on Earth, we'll then say, hey, awesome, hey, let's send us those photos and let's download that data. And that process can take, you know, months, if not years, depending on how far away those things are. You know, because there's no Wi-Fi in space. We're talking at incredibly low speeds. This is like dial-up speeds often. So,
yeah, no data roaming either.
No 5G towers in space either, which is a bit unfortunate. So it's super slow speed.
Yeah.
But we'll get some nice photos, but probably not for a couple of weeks until the encounter.
So it's basically they push the button on the command and just pray that it works.
Pretty much, because, I mean, there has been cases where we've done this with spacecraft and then they've never phoned home and we've actually just, like, lost contact with them. So, you know, it can be a kind of a nervous time, because you can imagine if you've just, you know, built the spacecraft, you've told it what to do, and then it just doesn't phone home, you know. There's no way for us to know, you know, what happened, if something went wrong. So, yeah, fingers crossed that it's okay.
The wider mission to Psyche, tell us a little bit about what it's heading there to do, and how far away from Earth is this asteroid?
Yeah, so the asteroid of the same name, it's in the asteroid belt, so it's basically between Mars and Jupiter. So it's not too far out. It's, you know, relatively close in the solar system. But the reason that we're going to this particular asteroid is we actually think it's a metallic asteroid. We think it's made mostly of metal. And we think there actually might be a chance that it's like an exposed core of an early planet that may have been forming, you know, in the early solar system's formation. And we think it contains, you know, heaps of rare earth elements, rare metals. We're not quite sure, though. So we've gotten some, you know, kind of interesting data from telescopes from observing, you know, the asteroid on Earth. But, yeah, we decided, basically, we need to send a mission there to actually, you know more about that asteroid. So,
yeah,
we think it's a potentially metallic asteroid, which could, hold a lot of rare earth elements, which we don't find a lot of on Earth.
And then I guess the next step is bringing it home.
Well, that's the kind of the next sci-fi step, right? It's like space mining and some pickaxes there and get the rocks. But I think it'll be an interesting mission either way.
Yeah. We're continuing on with our Artemis 2 cooldown, I guess, and NASA's finally dumped all the photos that the astronauts caught from aboard the capsule. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, they did like a bloody Artemis dump. They just put all 12,000 photos. They just uploaded them all at once.
Yep.
And they actually like barely told anyone or even cataloged them. They just uploaded them.
Yeah.
I actually looked at the website and I literally scrolled through about maybe 2,000 of them. And every single one of them, it's like the raw file. They're extremely big images.
Yeah.
The website is super slow because there's so much data on there.
Yeah.
But it's honestly, it's really amazing. Like, if anyone actually has the time or the patience to look at the photos, they're incredible. Every single photo that they took on the mission, you know, they didn't edit them. They didn't, you know, curate the best ones. They simply uploaded every image taken from those cameras, and they're just available now.
So yeah.
There's this huge wealth of incredibly beautiful photos just out there for anyone now.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the concept of being able to send people out into space and take photos of things out in space and of the moon and everything. But once we get it back here, you upload all 12,000 photos onto a website and the website's the problem.
Exactly. It's like the limitations of physics, right? We can send people to the moon, but looking at the photos is the most difficult part.
Yeah. We've had a comet in our skies for the last couple of weeks, and time is running out, I believe.
Yeah, we've had a fairly bright comet. It was a bit of media around it in the last few weeks. But yeah, this little comet that's been making the rounds in the southern skies. It's only visible for us down here in the southern hemisphere at the moment. But it's basically now moving away from the sun, so this comet is decreasing in brightness. But it's been bright enough that it's, you know, I've seen some incredible photos from people here in New Zealand. Heaps of people have captured it. It's been decently bright enough to see in a telescope and binoculars or on a camera. It isn't naked eye visibility, unfortunately, so you can't just like go out and see it.
But
anyone that has, you know, a basic DSLR camera, if you take any photos after sunset looking west, just above Orion, you'll probably actually see it. It's still decently bright.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty stunning shots over the last couple of weeks.
Are there any potential names for this comet yet that might be in the mix?
It does have a name. I'll tell you, it's not very interesting. It's called C-2025R3(PAM-STARS).
That's inspiring.
Let's just call it Chris for short.
I call it R3.
R3, that's cool. That's dope.
Yeah.
They don't really give comets like the best names because they are so fleeting. Like they're only here for, you know, a couple of months and then they're gone. Often comets, they're just catalogued with a bunch of numbers and letters and maybe the name of the telescope that found it. Open to suggestions if you have any.
When's the last chance to see this comet?
It's hard to say. Comets, they're really hard to predict in terms of brightness. I've personally been tracking it for the last few days and it has decreased a decent amount. I think if anyone has a camera, if you want to try and snap some shots of it, probably you've got about a week, probably 2 weeks at tops until it's kind of faded and then, gone forever.
Yeah. So how can we best see it? You said with the DSLR camera and obviously on a clear night as well.
Yeah, so at the moment, just after sunset, if you're looking towards the west in the direction of the sunset, about an hour after sunset, if you see three stars in a line, so New Zealanders often call it the pot.
Yeah.
We know it as Orion's Belt, it's a really common name. If you take a photo in that direction, it's basically just above that, but it's really close to Orion's Belt at the moment. And those three stars are pretty, pretty well known. Most people know those stars. And there's also nowhere else that you see like three stars in a line. So yeah, out to the west, an hour after sunset, towards Orion's Belt, and you might catch it.
Awesome. I believe that's our list complete. Was there anything added, anything you wanted to add on top of this? Anything exciting happening at Te Whatu Stardome this week?
What do we have? Oh, well, it's New Zealand Music Month, so we've got Zizzy. I know we talked about that. This is a couple of his show. I went and watched it actually a couple of days ago. I love it. It's such a cool show.
Yeah.
So yeah, people that have the cool, trippy visuals and music, awesome, definitely come along. Yeah, I think that's probably it for this month.
Well, mate, head down to Te Whatu Stardome, catch that show, and we'll catch you in a couple of weeks, Josh. Thank you so much for joining us.
Beauty. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ka kite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.